Let's open in prayer, and we will commit our hearts to the Lord and seek His will this morning. Our great God and Heavenly Father, it is such a tremendous blessing that we have an opportunity to open Your holy word. Lord, each one of us here can have a copy of Your word, and we can read it every day. We can study it. We can hear from heaven through the Bible, Your preserved word. Lord, I thank You for that privilege. Lord, help us to be diligent in Your word. Lord, help us this morning as we consider the truths that lay before us, the message that You have for us. Lord, as little Samuel prayed, Lord, speak, for Your servant is listening. Lord, may we all have an attitude, as Samuel did, an attitude of teachability, an attitude of submissiveness, an attitude that we desire to hear from heaven, and we desire to put into practice what You teach us. So, Lord, this morning as we consider these truths, I ask, Lord, that Your Holy Spirit would mightily move in all of our hearts. I thank You for those who are here. Bless them, I pray. Minister to all of our hearts. Bring the change that each of us need. May You be given all the glory and all the honor for it. I thank You, Lord. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue to move through this passage of Scripture, or this series, looking at how love is displayed in our lives. It's important to understand that what we choose to sacrifice most for is what we show to be our true love. We sacrifice for what we love. And we need to understand that what God is calling us to, He's calling us to display our love biblically. We've seen how love is displayed in how we sacrifice, how love is displayed in our surrender, how love is displayed in our sanctification. Last week we looked at how love is displayed in our service. And today we're going to look at how love is displayed in our faithfulness. If you will, our faithful service, how we serve faithfully. So it's a message that piggybacks off of last Sunday's message. And I trust and pray that it'll help us to better understand our role and how we need to be faithful in that role. Biblically, someone who is faithful, you see that on your notes at the top of the page, biblically, someone who is faithful is one who can be counted on. The challenge for each of us today is to consider our own faithfulness. To consider our own faithfulness. How is your faithfulness? And so a great question for us to ask, and this is a question, don't ask yourself this, ask the Holy Spirit. Notice that it's in the personal form. The question that I need to be asking my God, Lord, can I be counted on? Can I be counted on? That's the thrust of this message. Can I be counted on? As the Holy Spirit ministers to you and speaks to your heart, as you allow Him to answer that question for you, it will help you to see areas of needed change, areas of encouragement. Yes, you're being faithful in these areas. Continue on. These areas here, you're not being faithful. And as it brings conviction upon our heart, we go before the Lord in repentance. Lord, forgive me for not being faithful in this area that You're revealing to me. Help me to change. Help me to repent. Repentance is a 180. Okay, it's a 180 degree turn. I was going this way, I want to turn from that way, and I want to go God's way. So where God convicts us of not being faithful in areas of service, serving Him, let us respond. Let us respond. So consider with me, as we start out here, we have 2 points today. The first point is that God demands faithful stewardship. God demands faithful stewardship. Consider with me, if you would, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. We have just there in the New Testament, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I really want us to see this morning as we consider these are God's words to us. What does God say? In every message that we preach that comes from this pulpit, we want to always see that the authority is God through His Word. It's never a man's opinion that we place value upon. We place value upon God through His Word. So I want to challenge us to go to God's Word and see for yourself exactly what God says. And here we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." If you're there, let's read it together out loud. "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." That's God's message to you. That's God's commandment to you and to me. He demands faithful stewardship. What is a steward? Well, we think of, if you ever fly in an airplane, you think of a steward or a stewardess. All right? They are, in a great way, as they are faithfully fulfilling their job, they're properly showing us what a steward or a stewardess should do. A steward is like an estate manager. They're entrusted with the care of the property, but they do not have ownership of it. A steward or stewardess, they don't own the plane. They don't own anything directly related to the plane except the personal belongings they brought on the plane. They do not own the plane. And so what they're handing out while on the plane is not from their own own stash. They're handing out items that are on the plane that are somebody else's, and they're seeking to be faithful stewards of that property. Okay, taking care of it. A steward was entrusted with something of great value. All right? We want to set the stage here. God demands faithful stewardship. "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." We see that. Consider what it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:24. You may be very familiar with it. "Faithful is he that calleth you, who will also..." Also what? He will do it. God has called you to be a steward. He will help you to do it. Keep that in mind. God gives us the grace to do what He calls you to do. Do you believe it? Whatever God calls you to do, He gives you the grace to do it. So as He demands faithful stewardship, He's not a hands-off God that demands of you to do something and then leaves you alone. He demands to do you to do something, but then He gives you the grace, the help to do exactly what He calls you to do. Isn't that wonderful? That's an awesome reality. So, let's consider just a couple aspects of this stewardship. We want to understand, if I'm called to be a faithful steward, then what does that entail? If I don't know what I'm called to do, then how can I do it faithfully? So we want to see, what specifically is God calling us to do? You're still there in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Go back a verse to verse 1. "Let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God." What do we see there is something that we are a steward of. As a steward of the mysteries of God. We are called, God demands us to faithful stewardship as a steward of the mysteries of God. Now, something we want to keep in mind there is that when it says that word ministers of Christ, literally a minister We've elevated the minister to this honored position. Literally, you could read this literally, let him answer account of us as the slaves of Christ. As the slaves of Christ. This word for the Greek word used here for minister literally means an under rower, an under oarsman. In biblical times, they would have these large ships that would have three tiers of rowers. Okay? Now, Paul is writing here using the term not for tier 1, not for tier 2, but for tier 3. That type of oarsman. The lowest of low. Everything that was on top fell down upon them. It was disgusting. It was repulsive. Bare backs as they were whipped to do their job. They were called upon to be faithful. Paul is saying here, this being a minister of Christ is not an honored position. It's a position of sacrifice and service. We need to move it from our minds that just because the pastor is in this place, that it's this great honored position. It's a place of service and sacrifice. Don't elevate me. Encourage me. Pray for me. But I'm nothing special. A minister of Christ is a slave, an under oarsman. Keep that in mind. We're nothing special. We are special in just being odd, maybe. But aside from that, but all of us are called to be slaves of Christ, are we not? And as a slave of Christ, what are we called to do? We are called to steward, be a steward of the mysteries of God. What is a mystery? Well, biblically, a mystery is a divine revelation previously hidden. A divine revelation that is previously hidden. The New Testament was a divine revelation previously hidden to the Old Testament saints. So there you see, if you will, we are to be faithful with the whole canon of Scripture, all of the divine revelation of God, specifically the New Testament. But also you can zero in a little more specifically with regards to the mystery of God. The mystery of God, more specifically, as we narrow it down, yes, it encompasses the whole New Testament divine truth because it was previously unrevealed. Old Testament saints didn't understand most of the truth found in the New Testament. They had no clue about that. Our stewardship of the mystery of God contains the divine revelation of God and specifically the work of Christ in redemption. The gospel. You and I are called to be slaves of Christ, to be faithful stewards of God's revelation, of God's redemption plan as revealed in Christ Jesus. Do you realize that? So the question that begs us to ask is this. All of us, can I be counted on as a steward of the mysteries of God? Am I being faithful with the mysteries of God? Am I being faithful with the truths found in the New Testament? Am I being faithful with the gospel? Remember that a steward doesn't own what he doles out. He doesn't own what he manages. He doesn't own it. But what he manages is of great value. Is there anything of greater value than the divine revelation of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the redemptive plan of salvation? Is there anything of more value to this world? Why not? Because the gospel of Jesus Christ is the way of life. The world doesn't understand. And so to the world, they don't think of the gospel of Jesus Christ, His plan of redemption, as anything of value. But we know as Christians that it is the way of life, and therefore it is of utmost value. What are we doing with it? Can we be counted on with the mysteries of God? As a faithful steward of the mysteries of God. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. Moving forward here. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. What do we see here? It says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister, that's a Greek form of the word diakonos, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Of the manifold grace of God. Here we see the Greek word diakonoio. It describes someone who is actively involved in the meeting the needs of others. Are you actively involved in stewarding your servanthood of serving others in their needs? See, when you consider the mysteries of God that we have been called upon to be faithful stewards of, when we look around, do we see that others need Christ? And therefore, I'm called upon to faithfully steward the gospel, the redemptive plan of Christ, ministering to those that God has placed in my path. That He's given me people that are surrounding me that I should be engaging and faithfully stewarding the gospel to all these souls. Being a living representation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Am I doing that? Am I being faithful in stewarding God's redemptive plan? Being the light that God has called me to be. Here we see, speaking of the manifold grace of God, remember that a steward is entrusted with the care of that of the property, so it is with the Christian. The gift of grace, along with the spiritual gifts we have been given, are to be used in service to others, not held on to. Every single person here, let me ask you a question. Do you enjoy the grace of God? Have you received God's grace, His divine favor? Have you? Have you received from God His grace in salvation? Yes, I trust that all of us here have. So with that regard, is that something that I'm just supposed to hold on to, that grace? No. That grace is to be received and to be passed along in grace. We need to be gracious in giving out the gospel. We need to be ministering to others, passing along that grace. We are stewards of the mysteries of God, the redemptive work of Christ upon the cross in saving souls, the gospel. We are also to be ministers of the manifold grace of God. Are you doing that? Very simply, those are two key areas that we are called upon to be faithfully stewarding. Those are two key areas. Consider point number two. Our display. We see first God's demand of faithful stewardship. Consider second point. If we understand that God demands faithful stewardship, and we understand now what that stewardship looks like, what our role is, what our responsibility as a steward, if we understand what our role as our responsibility as a steward is, so what question does that beg us to ask next? How do I put it into practice? So here we go. Point number two, our display of faithful stewardship. Our display of faithful stewardship. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? What is that saying? It's very simply saying that there's a lot of people that tout their own goodness and their faithfulness, but to find one who is truly faithful, it's not always easy, is it? It's a challenge. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Say it with me. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Am I committed to being that faithful child of God that others can depend upon? Lord, am I committed to being that faithful child of God that others can depend upon? So let's consider. Let's consider five, I think it's five areas that we need to be faithful in. Starting out with, be faithful in your priorities. Be faithful in your priorities. Now, within our priorities, we need to understand of getting those priorities in order. Dr. Carl Herbster, last weekend at the men's retreat, he made this statement. You see it in your notes. He said, faithfulness in ministry comes from our priorities being properly set. Faithfulness in ministry comes from our priorities being properly set. He was saying that specifically about being a pastor, being a missionary, being in the ministry. But he also tied that in, I believe, with the reality that all of us are to be in the ministry. We are all to be faithfully stewarding the ministry of God. We are all in service to the King. And so therefore, the reality is faithfulness in serving God comes from our priorities being properly set. So, let's consider the biblical order of our priorities. Last Sunday, I told you about the illustration of the hand. Everybody look up here, please. Eyes up here. Okay? All right. So here we see the hand. All right? We see five areas of priorities. This is from Dr. Herbster himself. This is how he explains priorities. And I think it's a great way to understand our priorities. I want you to really understand this. I want you to see when you think of priorities, you think of the hand. It looks just like this. All right, our hand looking just like this. And it's key in this position. All right, let's understand this. What's our number one priority? God. Our number one priority, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. But seek ye last, seek ye third, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Notice where it's pointing. It's pointing up. It's a vertical relationship. This brings us to the vertical relationship that I've been challenging us with, our vertical relationship with God and our horizontal relationship with others. First and foremost, the thumb depicts and pictures for us our relationship with God, our first and foremost priority. It's of God must have preeminence. Give a thumbs up, if you will, side of things to God. We want God to be receiving priority. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do a couple things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving sometimes thanks to God and the Father by Him. Is that what it says? Did I miss something? Did I tweak something? Is something out of order? Did it not sound right? Or did it sound right? Did it sound right? If it didn't sound right, good. Because it wasn't right. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do what? All. What does all mean? All. Good. All right. We're on the same page. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. That's what we're called to. Our first and foremost priority is God. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do all to His honor and glory. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says what? Whether therefore ye eat or drink, whatsoever ye do, do all to what? The glory of God. All means all. God should receive first priority. So, as we consider our first priority being God Himself, how do we strengthen, how do we continue to keep God as first priority? What must we do? Well, we want to keep first priority. Yes, that's what we do. But how do we help to keep Him as first priority? Consider what we see there under number one, the priority number one, God. What must we do? We must be devoted to God through His Word. Be devoted to God through His Word. If you want to be strengthened in the truth of God's Word, if you want to be faithful as a steward of Jesus Christ, as a steward of God, if you want to be faithful to God, you've got to know what He says. Got to know what He says. Our faithfulness comes from resting in the promises of God. If you don't know the promises of God, what are you going to rest in? If we're not devoted to God through His Word, we're not devoted to God. Are we? His Word must be important enough for us to get into it frequently. What is the definition that we've used from Dr. Griffith with regards to how to define love? The Greek word agape signifies the value placed upon someone or something which determines the sacrifice you will make for it. When it comes down to it, your devotion to God, the degree of your devotion to God is evidenced, is on display in the degree to which you will sacrifice for Him. You place value upon God to show the degree that you place value upon God to the degree that you sacrifice for Him. And often, the response when it comes to devotions is, I just don't have time. And what does that say? It says, I don't love God as I should. When we don't give God time, when we don't sacrifice and make time for God, what are we showing? What did we look at last Sunday? With regards to, you can only serve one master. You cannot serve God and mammon. Either you will love the one and hate the other, you will cling to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. You can't serve both. And ultimately, the mammon can really picture me. And if I don't have time for God, then who am I serving? I'm serving me. And if I'm serving me, who am I showing that I love? I'm loving me. And as that verse says, if you cannot, you're going to love one and hate the other. If I'm showing that I love me, then that shows that in that area I'm hating God. That's harsh. If I can't give God time, I'm showing that I love me most. Oh, that's painful, isn't it? That's painful. I need to be devoted to God through His Word, because His Word is a lifeline for us to show us what He wants from us. He wants to tell us things. He wants to teach us things. He wants to say what to us. I love you. I want to help you. I want to minister to you. I want to guide you and carry you through these difficult times of life. I am here for you. I love you. I love you. I love you. And yet we say, not in word, because not a single one of us here is going to say, I hate you, God. But when we refuse to get into His Word, what are our actions saying? Lord, You're not that important to me. Oh, the pain that God has in His heart when He says, I sent my Son and I gave my best for you. And He took your cross and He died upon it. He bare your sin. I gave you my best to give you life. And you despise my gift. The heartache that God feels when he can't simply open up that word and see the powerful truths that God says, I love you. I love you. Don't forget it. To show that God is our number one priority, we need to be devoted to God through His Word. James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25, it says, but be doers of the Word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. If anyone be a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in the glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, the Bible, and continueth therein, does what it says, and being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer, an active, obedient doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Do we realize there's a blessing that comes from when we read the Word of God and we listen to what it says, then we do what it says? Do we realize that there's tremendous blessing and God wants us to enjoy His blessings as we do what He says? Do we realize that? We are missing out when we don't get into God's Word. We are missing out and we're choosing to miss out because I love me more. God says, I love you. I show you how much I love you. I love you this much. This much. See how much is this much? This big. As He spread out His arms and died on our cross. I love you this much. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Then thou shalt have good success. God commands us, be in my Word. Be in my Word. Be devoted to God through His Word so that you can faithfully represent the Lord Jesus Christ. How can we represent God if we don't know what He says? How can we represent Jesus Christ and impersonate Jesus Christ if we never spend time with Him? We cannot. We are not showing that He is our number one priority if we do not take time in His Word. That's number one there. Number two, in order to show that God is our priority number one, we not only must be diligent in His Word, but we also must be devoted in prayer or devoted in His Word. We must be also diligent in prayer. Are you diligent in prayer with God? Luke chapter 18, verse 1, and He, Jesus, spake a parable unto them, His disciples, to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Romans 12:12, rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Instant in prayer, literally diligent. Are you being diligent in prayer? Diligent, faithful. James chapter 5, verse 16. We read this morning and studied it a bit. But consider what it says. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It's powerful. The Spirit-filled prayer of a righteous man is powerful. Pray for one another. Do you pray for one another? Do you communicate with God? Do you seek His face? Are you diligent and faithfully going before the throne, submitting our will to God's will? Interceding on the behalf of others? Do we go before God's throne? Surrendering our will to Him? See, with all of this, you may not be faithful in the Word. Okay. The past is the past. Today is a new day, isn't it? So if you've been not faithful at all in the Word, okay. As this is a rebuke to your heart, change. Today's a new day. Start today. If you've been unfaithful in your prayer life in the past, well, today's a new day. Get into it. Start being faithful today. And then while it's called today, be faithful today in the Word. Today, you don't have to worry about reading the Bible for the rest of your life. You don't have to worry about praying for the rest of your life. Just do it today. Every day that is called today, pray. Read the Word. Change comes today. One day at a time. Don't worry about tomorrow. Start today. And let God's grace be sufficient for you as you obey Him today. When tomorrow becomes today, start all over. Pray. Get into the Word. As long as it's today, get into the Word. And you be faithful today, 10 years from now, you're going to have shown the life of faithfulness. Just do it today. Focus on today. A stranger to power. Consider, why is our walk with God sometimes a crawl with God? Why the lack of passion for our Savior who gave His all for us? Why the lack of victory over sin in the average Christian's life? Why the lack of power to shake this world for Christ? The words of Billy Sunday ring true. He that is a stranger to prayer is a stranger to power. We often live defeated Christian lives because we do not pray biblically. Daily prayer is daily power. Be connected to the source of power through His Word and through prayer. Consider the third point to help us make God a priority, to show that God is a priority in our lives. And keep in mind, you can go through and you can pray the Pharisaical prayer. You can be diligent in God's Word in a hypocritical way. And you can do this last one and just go through the motions of them. And it's not showing that God's a priority at all. It's showing that you're just being hypocritical in your faith. The reality is when you approach God's Word with a heart of humility and repentance, Lord, I want to hear from You because I know I need to change. I want to do what You say. You're coming to God and You're saying, You're the priority. I want to hear from You. You are more important than me. I need to change. When you come to God in prayer with humility and repentant heart, and you're coming to God, you're saying, I don't want my will to be accomplished. I want Your will to be accomplished. You're showing that God is the priority. Do you understand that? Coming to God through His Word and in prayer with a heart of repentance and humility is showing that deep down inside, in your heart of hearts, you're saying, God, You are number one. You are number one. The third point here, under the priority number one, be daily in confession of sin. See, if God's speaking to you through His Word, and He's challenging you in prayer, He's going to be convicting us of sin. We need to be getting that sin right with Him. Sin unplugs the power. Sin unplugs the power. 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, and perfecting holiness in the fear of God. To cleanse ourselves is to cleanse us from filth, from sin. It is a removal of that which is unclean or defiles us, causing us to be unfit for worship. Daily cleansing from sin. Daily confession of sin. What does it mean to confess? It means to say the same thing that God says. It means to define sin as God defines it. It means to say the same thing about sin that God says. As David prayed in Psalm 51, against Thee only have I sinned. And what does he call his sin? And done this evil in Thy sight. He defined his sin as God saw it. Sin is evil to God. If we cover up our sin, oh Lord, that was just, we justify it. Make an excuse why it was okay for me to do it that time. Oh, God says, no, that's evil. That's wickedness. It's abomination to me. Don't do that. I love you. I want to be in right fellowship with you. I want to have their closeness and intimacy with you. With you. With all of us. God wants closeness with us. But He says, when you are unrepentant in your sin, it separates us. Isaiah chapter, I think it's 59, talks about the fact that your sins have separated you from your God. God says, get that sin right and let there be communion once again. It doesn't remove the union. We're always a child of God. But it breaks our communion with Him. He says, I want to commune with you. I want there to be closeness and intimacy. I want to show you how much I love you. Confess your sin. Get it right. 1 Peter 1:15 says, but as He which hath called you is holy, God called you, He is holy. So be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Conversation, biblically, your lifestyle. Everything you do. Be holy in everything that you do. Be faithfully being devoted to God through His Word. Diligent to Him in prayer. Daily confessing sin. This strengthens our relationship with God and displays a proper devotion to Him. It displays Him as the number one priority. Are you ready to move on yet? Let's move on to number two. What's the number two priority? What is the pointer finger in this? What should be under God? What should be secondary to God? The family. The family. Turn, if you will, to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. I'd encourage you to look there. What we see here in 1 Timothy chapter 3 is the qualifications of the bishop, the pastor, and the qualifications of the deacons. Remember when we looked in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, we saw that it talked about the minister of Christ, the slave of Christ, the servant of Christ. Specifically, that's talking about those preachers of the gospel, pastors, if you will. Okay? And so, it's important for us to see that those who God's saying, you are on the very front lines. I'm giving you specific qualifications. That if you do not meet these qualifications, you cannot serve me at this in these positions. Again, I'm not trying to lift these positions up to an honored position that we bow to those positions, not at all. But God is saying that there's specific roles that I have in the church, a pastor and a deacon, that you must meet these qualifications, and if you do not, you cannot serve in those capacities. And He's very strict about it. Notice what He says. He says in 1 Timothy 3, verse 4, look what it says. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4, talking about the qualification of a pastor, a bishop, as it says here. One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. God places the family. See, what do you see here? You all may look at me and say, My job is to be the pastor of this church, and I love it. I love this calling that God has given me. I'm so thrilled that God would call me to be the pastor, not just the pastor, but the pastor of you all. I love being your pastor. I love it. But He says this, church, if I am unfaithful at home, I don't deserve to be here. I am disqualified here. What has God just done there? He's taken family and placed it over the church. You see that? God is giving family a higher priority to the church. Because if I lose my family, if I don't faithfully lead my family, how can I lead you guys? Do you see how that works? How can I serve God? I must be first serving Him in the home and be faithful serving Him in the home. If I don't faithfully serve Him in the home, I have no right. I'm actually disqualified. I'm unfit for service here. What does God show you there? He places family over the church. Doesn't He? Colossians 3:18 through 21 says, wives, submit yourselves. See, well, we looked at verse 17, Colossians 3:17, where it says, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then verse 18 says, okay, so if we're to do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's priority number one. Then comes family, priority number two. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives as Christ, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. God's saying number two, the pointer finger, is the family, priority. God first, family second. Be faithful at home. Be faithful to God. Be faithful at home. Be faithful at home because you represent the Lord Jesus Christ. Dr. Carl Herbster, he said these words. He says, so goes the home, so goes the church. The way the home goes, the church follows suit. Realize that? Why? Because we're raising the next generation to fill the pews of the church. And if we're not raising the next generation properly, it's going to be reflected in the next generation in the church, isn't it? Get it right there. So it'll be right here. Number three. What's number three? What's the third priority? You go God first. Is the thumb. Pointer finger is the family. What comes next? Church. Church comes next. Church comes next. Hebrews chapter 10. Turn over there if you will. Go to the right. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. What does God command of us? What does God say to us? What does God's Word say? He says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Consider what God is saying. He says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. What's the purpose of assembling together? He's talking about Christians. The writer of Hebrews is talking to the Hebrew saints. And he's saying, you as Christians, as saints of God, don't forsake assembling together. What's the purpose of our assembling together? It's for fellowship. It's for corporate worship and edification. What are we learning about in Sunday school with regards to the brotherly kindness and the constructive actions that we are to have one to another? If you don't get together, how can we operate as a body of Christ? How can we minister one to another if we're not getting together with each other? If you stay home from church and don't come to church, how can you be ministered as God wants you to be ministered? Does the TV work for you? Oh, I'm watching TBN and I'm listening to all these evangelists and all these guys and ladies or whatever you're listening to. I'm listening to pastors on the radio. They must be good. They have a radio show or they have a TV show. They must be good. Oh, God help us if we think that way. But how can that replace this? What interaction do you have with the TV? Click, I don't want to hear that anymore. Great accountability, isn't it? No. God's saying, you come, fellowship, worship with your brothers and sisters of Christ so that they can have an opportunity to minister to you and you can have an opportunity to minister to them. That's what we're called to. That's what we're called to. Prior to number three, we must be diligent coming to church. Be diligent. Be here as often as you possibly can. Sometimes work interferes. That's fine. But it shouldn't be consistent where we are excusing ourselves from not coming to church. Come to church. Be in church. If you miss a Sunday, come Wednesday. If you miss Wednesday, make sure you're here on Sunday. If you can't be here all day on all morning on Sunday, come to prayer service. If you can be here through the Sunday school, be here through the Sunday school. Come to church. Make it a priority. Be here at church. Why? I need you. You need me. It might surprise some of you that you need me. We need each other to be accountable one to each other, to worship together, to fellowship. We need each other. Be faithful in fellowshipping with God's people because you represent the Lord Jesus Christ. Number four, the fourth priority. Here we go. God, family, church, work comes next. Work comes next. Colossians 3:23, here we continue on in that same passage. Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not unto men. Oh, so everything that you do, do it for the glory of God. God's still the priority, but you're working. Be faithful at work. Luke chapter 16, verses 10 through 12. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, which is really work, okay, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Who will give you more? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? God is saying, be faithful in the small areas. Be faithful at work. Be faithful at work. But it needs to have its place. And the reality is, what God calls us to when it comes to work, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28, talks about the fact that so we can do good unto others. Why do you work? I'm building that 401k. I'm building that retirement. I want that vacation home once I retire. And I want to do this. I want to do this. I want to do this. I. What does God say? You work to help others. Do we do that? See, our working is priority number four. In a great way, we work and we honor God with how we work and what we make by giving back to Him a tithe. See how that works? To provide for our family, but ultimately to the glory of God. It all works together. And you know me, I don't talk a lot about money. But biblically, why are we called to do things? We're called to work not for ourselves, but to help others out, to minister to God, to worship God with those finances, to be faithful stewards of the finances God has given us the privilege of making. So we go from God as a thumb, family, church, work. Who's the pinky? Me. I need to come last, don't I? The pinky is me. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Romans 12:10, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love in honor, preferring one another. Prefer honor for others. So here we go. Remember when we started out? This is the visual that we want to see. The hand to the side with thumb up. What happens when we get our priorities out of line, out of order? What happens? How does the hand go? And everything's still in the same order. God. Thumbs down to God. Family. Work. Or church. Work. Me. See what happens? See what happens? When I'm first, work becomes second because I'm working for me. Then I go to church for who? For me. I have a family for who? For me. And I bring God into the mix for who? For me. See how that works? When our priorities are out of order, we will be unfaithful to God because He will be last. And He will just be used as a means to my end. See how that works? It's a sad reality when we get to that point. That aspect of the message is vital for us to get. And I want to close there this morning. The challenge for us is to have our priorities rightly ordered. Be faithful in these priorities that God has called you to. As I've stated many times before, God must be first. That vertical relationship must be first. I am a doulos to God. We learned about that last week with regards to I'm a doulos as a servant. I'm submissive to His will. And if I'm submissive to His will, I then do what He says. And I can be a diakonos in my horizontal relationships as I'm responsive to the needs of others. But this must be first. God works in me both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And when we get this order right, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. But do what? Give glory to your Father which is heaven. The right triangle. That happens. We fulfill that illustration when God's first, family second, church is third, work is fourth, I'm last. Where do you stand? Can you be counted on? Can you be counted on? Are you putting God first? Let's close in prayer. Our gracious God, we are here before You, recognizing that all of us are failing in different areas. None of us are in the Word enough. None of us pray enough. None of us are always quickly confessing our sins. none of us have perfected the list of priorities, keeping them in order as you, as always, number one. So all of us are rebuked here this morning. And Lord, I trust that each one of us, as your Holy Spirit speaking to every heart here today, that you are revealing specific areas of needed change. Lord, move mightily in our hearts. Lord, may we not just hear the word and walk away from here not doing anything about it. But Lord, may we be a hearer of the word and a doer. Respond to what you are telling us. As a result, being able to enjoy the blessings that come from it. The blessing of closeness with you. The blessing of intimacy with you. Help us, O Lord. Change us, O God. In the quietness of our heart right now, may we commit to you today. Lord, today is a new day. Today is a day in which I am responding. I want to be faithful today, Lord. Would you take a moment? Take your heart before the Lord and lift it up to Him and say, Lord, help me. You've convicted me in a specific area of my life, and I know I need to change. Maybe you're struggling with how to change. Yes, Lord, help me. Give me wisdom. Give me wisdom about how to change, Lord. Would you take your heart before God right now? Would you put this message into action right now? Lord, I want to make you a priority. I want to do what you have called me to do. Change me, Lord. Change me, O God. Or if there's areas of conviction where we need to repent of sin, confess that sin to God. Lord, would you open our eyes to the sin in our life? May we take that before you and confess it as evil. I am wrong. I need to change. Will you forgive me? And Lord, may we rest in the truth of your word that when we confess our sin, you, Lord, are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Help us to rest in the truth of your word. Thank you, Lord, for what you will do. Guide us, we pray. I commit all these things to you in Jesus' name. Amen.